Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Matt, what happened in Butte? What happened in Butte? Did you guys see this? I don't know if it made a lot of big news headlines, if it caught everybody's attention here or not, but it deals with elections. It deals with ballots. They're going to have a recount now, apparently, in Butte, Silver Bow County, following the June 4th primary election. Why are we just now hearing about this? So it's like 2 months later. It's over 2 months later. Now I went to journalism school at the University of Montana, so a little bad at math sometimes. But let's see, August 19th. Although this story came out August 16th here, June 4th. Let's see, July. That's 1 month. August. That's 2 months. So over two. Like 2.5 months. Oh, yeah. By the way, we screwed up counting the elections in Butte, of all places. Now, our friends in Butte know that just like the DNC kicking off in Chicago right now. You remember all the jokes about people voting more than once in Chicago, about dead Democrats voting in Chicago. They make the same jokes about Democrats in Butte over the years. But I saw this. It was Friday night. I think it was Friday night. And, you know, man, I had a busy day. Big thanks to David Noble for filling in on this show. I listened in for almost my entire drive out to the lake, and just incredible. It was fun hearing all the phone calls, fun hearing Congressman Zinke, Governor Gianforte, and others. But so I was out at the lake getting some great warriors out on the water. And then I had to bust back for the rally with Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, and then of course had the rally, and then more events after that. But I see this tweet from Don Kay, the chairman of the Montana GOP, and by the way, great to see Don Friday night as well. He said this: Montana Democrats, Silver Bow County caught cheating. Thank you, Secretary of State Jacobson, for catching this. We must have election integrity in Montana. He says, interesting that this is in Senator Tester's country where this happened. Shame on you. I believe he shared a Montana Standard report here. Today, the legislature learned that Butte Silver Bow County has been ordered to recount the ballots cast in the June 4th primary election. As reported by the Montana Standard, there is a possibility that as many as 1,000 ballots may have been double counted. This recount could impact the outcomes of a handful of close races. The order was issued by retired Gallatin County Judge Mike Salvani, and the recount will happen Tuesday in view of the candidates and members of the public. Let's see, Senate President Jason Ellsworth, given the legislature's commitment to ensuring election integrity, Senate President Jason Ellsworth has formed a special select committee to investigate the incident and determine what changes to the law may be required to prevent similar situations in the future. All right, so there you go. That was what was shared by Don Kay, the chairman of the Montana GOP. And then I did see, another report here from Nonstop Local had a report on the story out of Butte as well.
Securing America.
A group of nearly 20 lawmakers sending a letter to Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg over a recent Wall Street Journal report that shows the company under investigation for facilitating the sale of illicit drugs.
They're actually endangering our children by putting profits before public safety.
Republican Congressman Buddy Carter of Georgia says Meta needs to take more responsibility. Lawmakers want answers to a number of questions, such as how many illicit drug ads have been reported to Meta on the platform it did not discover, and the amount of revenue it collected from those ads. Meta responded in March to the Wall Street Journal report by saying, quote, "Our systems are designed to proactively detect and enforce against violating content. Lawmakers want a response by September 6th. In Washington, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partial sun and some cloudiness today, some scattered showers and storms are possible, mainly in the afternoon. High temperature readings will range from 90 in Bozeman to the mid-90s in Billings. For tonight, chance for a shower, storm early mainly. Lows from 53 in Bozeman to the mid-60s in Billings. Then we'll see a chance for a few scattered storms on Tuesday, along with some sunshine. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombley.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into the phone lines here. I do have audio of Speaker of the House Mike Johnson from the rally on Friday. Big thanks to Jackie Coffin with Yellowstone Public Radio for sharing that audio with us, and great to see you at the rally Friday as well. I was the MC, or I would have tried to record some audio myself, but yeah, we've got full audio for you here that we'll play we'll play part of it here in just a second, but hey, let's sneak on a caller. Stephen Ballantyne already on the phone lines. Steve, I think I heard you jump in on the conversation Friday while I was driving out to the lake.
Yeah, I did. Anyway, good morning. Representative Zinke, you know, was on the radio on Friday, and a wonderful caller, a gentleman, called in and asking, you know, basically saying that, you know, this country's going broke, or we are broke, you know, that we need to just quit doing this, sending this money overseas, you know, to these other countries foolishly. And Representative Zinke walked all around that, and all he could say was, you know, granted, I love the man. I love all our representatives and senators that are on our side. But anyway, he walked around it and says, well, you know, there's appropriation committees that appropriate the money and, you know, basically take care of the money. But he never did once come back and says, you know what, yeah, we really need to work on sending money overseas to these foolish, the drag queen stuff over in that one country here not too long ago.
Yeah.
You know, quit spending these
drag queen story
hour
in Ecuador. Yeah, yeah, no, and he's criticized
But he walks around the question. The gentleman had a legitimate reason to, you know, we're going broke. I mean, it's no different than myself. If I was donating money to some worthy causes and more money's going out than's coming in, I'm gonna have to make a big decision. What do I do? Do I sit there and go to the food line, or do I just sit there and finally say enough's enough and quit sending money to places that I just need to take care of my own self first? And that's kind of like the country.
Well, that's why it's so important. And he had a good answer. He probably just didn't have time. I mean, the fun part about Friday's show is, was that, and it was like caller, 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 quick question, quick comment, quick response back from Congressman Zinke, quick response back from Governor Gianforte, and it's really fun to listen to, but yeah, so it may have just been that, hey, they went right into the next caller before he had time to give a full response to it, because he's got a great response to that caller's question, and you know, the fact is Zinke voted against more funding for Ukraine, for example, and to turn off the spigot there. I also partly wonder if it is that it's our side that's constantly the ones talking about the national debt, and our side constantly talking about that threat to our country. So I wonder if we just make the assumption that, well, people have already heard us talk about that. It was fun to listen to, especially how many callers got in with various questions as well. And it's just another reminder, look, John Tester won't do that. He won't come on here and take questions from any Montanan that calls in. But I think bigger picture is it's yet another reminder that we've got to not only hold the House, but really we've got to expand the Republican majority. I mean, a one-vote, razor-thin majority is what Speaker Johnson talked about having at times. And then half the time, you can't even trust everybody in your own caucus to hold the line. And so that's what you got to go to war with, right? is a caucus that hasn't even been fully united. And so, of course, you're not able to fully take the fight to the Democrats. But without having the Senate, without having the White House, that's why it's so key that we not only take back the Senate by voting for Tim Sheehy this fall, but also we've got to not only hold the House, but we've got to expand the majority there. The one question I would have had for Speaker Johnson is, okay, we know what House Republicans have accomplished, but I think what our side also doesn't understand is how much worse things would even be. It's hard to think of things being worse than they are right now in our federal government, right? But I don't think we have a full, complete picture of how much worse things would be if Republicans did not control the House of Representatives, no matter how slim that control might be. Here's part of what Speaker Johnson had to say Friday night when he just said, look, here's what we got to talk about right now. We'll get to some numbers a little bit later in the show as well. But let's see. Here you go. This is from Speaker Johnson's remarks at the rally, audio courtesy Jackie Coffin, Yellowstone Public Radio.
Kelly, I'm just going to cut to the chase, okay, because it's hot and it's late and the hour is late and the crisis is great in the country, and I'm not going to sugarcoat this. We're facing the greatest collection of crises that our nation has faced probably since World War II, some argue since the Civil War. Everybody in this room knows that, and we know the stakes are so high you cannot overstate it. You've already heard this is the most important election cycle of our lifetime. That is exactly right. I believe right now we're not in a contest anymore just between Republicans and Democrats. It is that. But it's much deeper than that. We're in a contest right now between two completely different visions for who we are as America and who we're going to be. Now, what we're trying to do as conservatives is conserve something. And when I'm back in Louisiana or I'm traveling around the country, by the way, this is my 168th city in 36 states in 7 months. It might be the prettiest one so far, but don't tell everybody else. When I'm around in the country and I'm talking to people and we're in big rooms of conservatives and Republicans and Trump supporters and all of it, and I say, hey, what is it we're trying to conserve? In fact, what does it mean to be a conservative in America? What is American conservatism? And you get a long range of issues. A lot of people will say, our gun rights. Yes, that's part of it. I believe in...
All right, let's hold it right there. Yeah, I've got more to follow of Speaker Johnson's remarks that we can share with you here. A little bit more this hour, and then I'll hold on to some of it for our statewide 9 o'clock hour later today.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, according to AgriPulse this morning, the USDA is working on a study of retail food pricing that's likely to raise some questions about industry practices. Now, the study comes as Republicans continue to hammer Vice President Kamala Harris over the food inflation that has taken place since she and President Biden took office in 2021. In fact, today, Harris is expected to discuss an economic plan that includes cracking down on what she says is price gouging by food companies. This week, at the American Coalition for Ethanol Conference in Omaha, Nebraska, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack said he believes the USDA's current partnership with the Department of Justice has been very beneficial for ensuring competition across the food and agriculture sectors. Meanwhile, the USDA's Economic Research Service is forecasting that grocery prices will be up just 1% this year over 2023 and only 0.7% in 2025. Keep in mind, it also says that the 20-year average inflation rate for food eaten at home is 2.7%. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Hello, this is Bill Coffey, CEO of Stockman Bank. When you bank with Stockman, your money stays in Montana to work for you and your community. You will be working with your fellow Montanans who understand our unique way of life. From our executive leadership to our frontline employees, our team is almost 900 strong. We know firsthand what it's like to live and work in our great state because it's our home too. We are Montanans serving Montanans. Stockman Bank, member FDIC.
With harvest time and the peak of summer heat upon us, Montana DNRC reminds farmers and ranchers to be prepared to do your part to prevent equipment-caused wildfires. Practice fire mitigation by regularly cleaning dry materials like straw and chaff from equipment. Avoid parking in or near dry, flashy fuel sources. Always keep a water source, fire extinguisher, and shovel with you. And stay on top of fire restrictions by visiting mtfireinfo.org. Montana DNRC wishes everyone a safe and successful harvest season.
Well, the Defense Logistics Agency has issued a solicitation for the procurement of a cold weather sock system that will most likely use a vast amount of American wool. Now, with a due date, they say, of August 28th, this latest solicitation calls for an estimated 3.1 million pairs of socks during a three-year period. ASI Director of Wool Marketing Rita Samuelson said that the U.S. military definitely understands the exceptional qualities of American wool when it comes to keeping our troops comfortable in extreme conditions, as well as wool's many natural attributes, making it an integral component in dress uniforms. And finally this morning, don't forget that the Public Lands Council's annual meeting is headed for Grand Junction, Colorado, September 17th through the 19th. Lots of important issues will be covered, including BLM's new public lands rule, sage grouse, wolves, and more. If you haven't done so, today is the early bird registration deadline. So jump online, join me and others, and get registered today at publiclandscouncil.org. Again, the PLC's annual meeting headed for Grand Junction, Colorado, September 17th through the 19th at the Doubletree by Hilton, Grand Junction. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I'll share a little bit more audio here from Speaker of the House Mike Johnson during the rally in Billings on Friday night. You had not only Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, but of course it was Western District Congressman Ryan Zinke put on the whole event. You also had Troy Downing, the Eastern Congressional District candidate. You had Attorney General Austin Knutson, Governor Greg Gianforte, and more in the House for that rally. Great backdrop as well. It was hosted at the Beacon Air Group up at the Billings Airport. But, he was – just before we went to that last break, he was talking about this is not even just a difference between Democrats and Republicans anymore. There are two wildly different visions for America. So he was talking about – these American principles and these conservative principles that we need to champion right now.
So Reagan said in his famous farewell address, he said, they call me the great communicator, but I really wasn't. He said, I was just communicating great things, and they're the same great things that have guided our nation since its founding. What are the great things? See, I believe it boils down to, I call them the seven core principles of American conservatism. Because I think we need to speak with clarity, conviction, and consistency right now than we ever have before, because people are looking for the answers. What does it boil down to? I think it's individual freedom, limited government, the rule of law, peace through strength, fiscal responsibility, free markets, and human dignity. Now, under those things, there's lots of subcategories, but that's the essence of what made us the greatest nation in the history of the world. It's not even close. We're the strongest, the most free, most successful, most powerful, most benevolent nation it's ever been. But it is not by happenstance. It's because it's built on these foundational principles. Now, here's the problem right now. We revere those principles. When I talk about that in a room full of conservatives and Republicans, they go, yeah, that's what we're for. But if I give that same list in Washington right now, and we have some of our Democrat colleagues in the room, they're not your father's and grandfather's Democrats, okay? These people are socialists. They're progressives. They have disdain for the founding principles of the country. They don't revere them like we do. They want to tear them down. They envision for this country that America would be some sort of, you know, European-style Marxist utopia or something. But we understand in this room that is a dangerous fool's errand. And so we're fighting right now for the future of the country and holding fast to the things that made us what we are and who we are. That's the battle. This is not a game. Kamala Harris is a socialist. She is a radical leftist San Francisco liberal. They're doing the greatest gaslighting operation in the history of American politics right now. Trying to convince us that Kamala Harris is some sort of moderate. She's some sort of policy wonk. Give me a break. She chose walls. This guy is on video like a year and a half ago saying socialism is a great idea.
All right, that's part of what Speaker of the House Mike Johnson had to say later on in his remarks. I think this is what I might say for later on. He talked about a new poll out when it comes to,
Israel. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, coming up here in just a few minutes, it's rare that we'll have a live guest join us here in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, but I thought this was an interesting topic, especially given, how important the hospitals and the healthcare industry are here in Montana, especially, we're talking, live on the radio right now, separate from the folks joining us on the app across the state, but, we're on in Billings right now, 970 KBUL, Bozeman, 1450 KMMS, and then, of course, Butte, 1370 KXTL. But this was the headline that stood out to me. Nearly half of U.S. counties don't have a single cardiologist, not one cardiologist, in nearly half of all of the counties all across America. And so anyway, we've got a guest who's going to be joining us here in just a few minutes to talk about that story, thanks to our friends at Fox News Radio. But to me, it's also another reminder of just the failures of liberal Senator John Tester. Kamala Harris has been a train wreck, right? Full-blown socialist, she was endorsing price controls here over the past few days, which would only worsen the crisis in America. Even the left-wing Washington Post is criticizing her over that one. But John Tester was in the United States Senate before Kamala Harris was. And so when you look at the destruction of the American healthcare industry and the dramatic price increases that we've seen in healthcare, the dramatic increases in insurance and so much more. We can point back to Obamacare, and John Tester was the tie-breaking vote to force Obamacare across America. And so, look, we've seen the massive inflation in just the last 3 years in the price of everything else under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and John Tester. But remember, when we talk about all the challenges facing healthcare, Obamacare destroyed healthcare in America, and then whoever was hanging on by a thread at that point, look at what their insane, absurd COVID lockdowns and COVID mandates did to force nurses and other healthcare professionals out of the industry, to raise costs, and really caused a lot of harm for rural healthcare here in Montana and elsewhere across the country as well. But we've talked about this. Kamala Harris, she wants a government only healthcare solution. She wants socialized medicine. And what's the best way for them to try to bring about socialized medicine? They have to destroy the system as it currently exists. They have to bring as much pain as possible in the current system so they can try to force people into a government controlled system entirely. Too many government controls right now as we speak. Okay, so we've got Todd Furness, author of The 60% Solution, Rethinking Healthcare, should be with us right after this. There might be a couple of minute delay, but that's all right. We got plenty of other things to get to in the meantime. Plus, I need to check the messages on our Montana Talks app. So back after this.
Montana State News Network.
Good morning, I'm Dennis Bragg. West Central and North Central Montana experienced another round of strong thunderstorms Sunday evening, but as with another bout of bad weather last week, no reports of the kinds of damage the region experienced, and especially in Missoula in mid-July. Utilities were reporting some scattered outages in Missoula and north of Hamilton, most only impacting a few dozen people, although one near the Southgate Triangle in Missoula had knocked service off for more than 400 Northwestern Energy customers. The forecast still showing parts of the state with some threat of thunderstorms through Monday night. No new major fire starts, even with the lightning and warmer weather over the weekend. Firefighters were kept busy on some smaller fire starts, but conditions are continuing to look improved this week because of the cooler, wetter weather. The largest active blaze in Montana is still the Grouse Fire in the East Pioneers near Wise River. It remains just under 4,200 acres with 22% containment. The idea of asking Bozeman voters to approve a ban on single-use plastics is being shelved after supporters failed to get enough signatures to place the proposal before voters in November. The Bozeman Daily Chronicle says the petitioners were able to collect over 6,700 names, but that was just over 300 short of the number needed by the August 12th guideline. Backers are still questioning whether they should have to only be required to hit 15% instead of a quarter of the registered voters. Summer is winding down, but we're actually hitting one of the best times of the year to visit one of Montana's best state parks, as Ashley Warren explains.
A Montana state park has been recognized in a national publication. Business Insider has published an article of 10 state parks that are worthy of attention the way national parks are. And in this article, Montana's Maquoshetcha State Park has been singled out as one of the 10 state parks that is worthy of praise. The author talks about the state park's badland formations as what makes this park especially interesting. Ashley Warren, Montana State News Network.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT. G-O-A-T. Acronym. Stands for greatest of all time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner. They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care would love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Are you...
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Spot on message here from Randy in Fishtail. Randy, you hit touched on a very important point, and it brings to mind something that Speaker of the House Mike Johnson said, separate from the rally, separate from the public remarks at the rally on Friday. Got a chance to you know, sit in on a Q&A with Speaker Johnson. And, man, somebody asked, well, a few people asked some great questions, and it was a fascinating response from Speaker of the House Mike Johnson that goes exactly to what Randy and Fishtail just messaged me about here on the Montana Talks app. We'll get to that. Plus, we got messages from Jay in Billings, Julie in Hardin, Lightbrows in Hardin as well. But first, we've got Todd Furness on the phone lines with us right now, the author of The 60% Solution, Rethinking Healthcare. Todd, thanks for being with us. You know, we've got, you know, healthcare is such an important part of our, not only Montana, but just our economies in, you know, Billings, Butte, et cetera. There are folks that are listening right now. So thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, and I got a quick shout out to my good friend Steve Daines, the great senator for Montana. What a wonderful guy!
Hey, that's right. Yeah, we just saw him at the Trump rally a little over a week ago in Bozeman, Montana, and so he got a nice homecoming welcome there at the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse. Well, let's talk about rural healthcare in particular. You know, I kind of did a little rant of my own in the last segment, where really Obamacare started to cause a lot of harm in American healthcare, and then we saw the COVID lockdowns and mandates that caused even more harm. But this is I got to say, this is even shocking. Looking at this headline here, nearly half of U.S. counties don't have a single cardiologist. Is this a newfound phenomenon, or is this a problem we've been dealing with for quite some time now?
No, it's been happening for a while as the assault, the economic assault on rural hospitals has continued to exist. It's really hard to run rural hospitals in a way that makes sense because you just don't have, thankfully, you don't have the volumes going through. But more importantly, the bigger problem is the way that we're paying for these services. And what happens is you've got somebody in Washington, D.C. establishing prices for Medicare and then you, which is very remote, and that's just one example of a payer. And then, but you've got costs going up independent of the price. It's really strange because in no other industry do you really have that, where you've got a third party unilaterally deciding what they're going to pay you without any consequence or without any reference to the prices. I mean, the costs that go into that. So, for example, if your salaries, wages, and benefits go up by 7%, but your reimbursement rate, the amount that they're going to pay you, goes down by 2%, that means you just lost 9%. Well, how's that going to work? That's going to put a lot of pressure on, especially rural hospitals. So it's just this model that we need to get back to something that makes more sense, which is not relying on insurance, but rather instead paying cash wherever we can and changing the way that we economically engage with our healthcare system.
You know, it's interesting. We have seen more, especially after actions by, the Republican majority in the state legislature here, and now having a, Republican governor close to wrapping up his first term, direct primary care, where people are now allowed, think about that, allowed in America to do something just like that, where you can pay, say, a monthly subscription practically to go get your basic healthcare needs and, more preventative medicine. And you can go to those direct primary care clinics instead of just waiting until the crisis and then have these massive medical bills. So that's kind of something that's been a more recent development here in Montana. That's been a good thing, a way that the state has been taking the lead in the wake of massive federal government failures. And then you're right. I mean, the federal government has been notorious about underpaying our health care providers, which is one more reason not to be so dependent on the federal government for health care and to force more dependency on the federal government for health care, because they're cheapskates. They never pay their bills, and it harms rural health care.
You're absolutely right. And, Montanans share a lot with Texans, where I am, both very independent, self-reliant, self-disciplined, which I, obviously applaud. But, doctors and people in the healthcare industry are designed and they're trained to fix problems. They're not really designed to prevent problems. So when you look at the money pouring in through pharmaceutical companies and through and into hospitals, the big, large urban hospitals, it's because they're trying to fix stuff that's gone bad, largely because the government recommended it, like the food pyramid. But they're not really designed to keep you healthy. So I like to say that the way to stay healthy is do what your mom told you when you were growing up. Eat right, sleep right, and go out and play. But doctors are told, for example, are taught very little about, for example, eating. They don't know much about nutrition. They don't know much about sleep. And they really don't know much about exercise, except that, yes, you should get some, and here's how to fix a joint that's gone bad. So we have to really think about healthcare differently. We have to be much more independent, and we have to get ahead of things exactly by what your governor is advocating, which is let's get involved with preventative care, with primary care in a meaningful way, which is I dedicate actually my, I think it was the second or third chapter of my book, specifically to that very issue.
Very interesting. Yeah, this was new research that was published in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology that found nearly half of all counties in the U.S. lack a practicing cardiologist. And I'm sure we could find similar numbers for all sorts of other specialties. But this study found that of the 3,143 counties in the U.S., 46.3% do not have a cardiologist. Most of those, 86.2%, are rural counties with lower income levels, less access to healthy food, and fewer health care providers overall. So your 60% solution that you write about in your book, is that 60% solution? Is it basically, hey, figure out a way to pay cash to take care of the majority of your health care needs, and then we can worry about that other 40% in other ways? Is that a summary, or how would you summarize your 60% solution?
I need to hire you for my PR. You just summarized my entire thesis, which is exactly that. Thank you so much. Yes, and that's exactly the problem. My point is that 60% of America is getting their health care by paying for it through commercial insurance. You got about roughly 20% of our population, which is getting it through Medicaid, and another 20% that's getting it through Medicare. So the barbells of Medicaid and Medicare leave 60% in the middle. And if we could turn more of that 60% in the middle to being cash pay, then the marketplace would work much better. And we would reduce the price of healthcare, meaning my price to you is your cost, right? So if I can reduce my price, then your cost goes down. And that's good for the entire population.
Well, Todd Furness, it's been great catching up with you this morning. Thanks so much for being with us. And again, the author of The 60% Solution, Rethinking Healthcare. Great to have you on the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Aaron.
All right, appreciate it. Okay, that's great insight. You know, one of the first things he talked about was, what was it, getting good sleep, and then also diet. And, hey, oftentimes if you want to have a better diet, you've got to do what the federal government, you've got to do the opposite of what the federal government has been telling you to do. Yeah, the federal government's been telling you, well, you need to limit how much beef you eat. That's absurd. Right. That's why I love Billings' last diet. It's common sense. And it follows a lot of what Todd was talking about right there, that if we can fix our diet, think about how many healthcare problems we can address by addressing our diet. You know, a lot of people think of if you're going to do a weight loss program like Billings' last diet, that it's all about looking better for that beach vacation or getting out on the lake this summer. Well, no. It's about being around for your kids and your grandkids. It's about the positive, incredible health impacts that you will have simply by losing weight, by burning fat, and doing it the right way, maintaining your muscle mass through their ideal protein protocol. So that, you know, yeah, for dinner, like for example, I'm doing a diet tune-up with Billings' last diet right now. The first week of my tune-up, I burned almost, 3 to 4 pounds of straight-up fat alone. You maintain the muscle mass. So for dinner last night, guess what I had? I had a steak. I had beef for dinner and my vegetables. And that is ideal. That's exactly what you want right there. You need the ideal amount of protein. But the federal government's like, no. Limit it to this many ounces. It is so absurd. All right, let's see. Got some messages that have come in on our Montana Talks app here that we'll get to. Got a great one from Light Brows in Hardin. He says, I hope you had a good time with the SF families on Friday. Yes, I did. I got to be out there. We took some incredible active duty Green Berets, and more importantly, their families with them out on the lake on Friday. Big thanks to retired Colonel Tim Small, who I believe is the VP of the Devil's Brigade chapter of the Special Forces Association now. He organized this whole respite. Lightbrow says, Ike and I went with them to the Bighorn Battlefield. Then we had lunch at the trading post across 212. Afternoon was spent shooting weapons that were used in the 1876 battle. Lightbrows, they told me that was absolutely incredible and a big highlight of their trip. So I'm sure they were glad to meet you out there.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I mean, if she mentions the 2025 agenda one more time, I don't even know what the 2025 agenda is. People think I know. I'm like, I'm not paying attention to it. Donald Trump has been put together by people that claim, well, I think Donald Trump knew all about it. Donald Trump says, I have no idea what it is, and I've never read it, and don't even know who the people are that put this thing together. And has denounced it, says he's not supporting it again and again and again. Just like she lies about Donald Trump's position on abortion. She's lied about that repeatedly. And it's pretty unbelievable. But we're now in a situation where what she wants is a complete dismantling of the greatest economic system ever designed and created by man.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
You know, out of all the things we can do to maintain and protect our homes, you know what? Getting up on a ladder, cleaning out the gutters, that's the last thing anyone wants to do. I know, I've done it. And right now you can save up to 30% off your entire purchase when you go to leaffilter.com/Hannity. An investment in Leaf Filter is an investment engineered to protect your entire home. Now, the beauty of Leaf Filter is they take care of everything start to finish. Every installation comes with a free inspection, free estimate, and a lifetime guarantee. Now, a Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will clean out, realign, seal your gutters before installing Leaf Filter. Protect your home and never clean out gutters ever again with Leaf Filter. They're America's number one gutter protection system. And schedule your free inspection. Get up to 30% off your entire purchase when you go to leaffilter.com/Hannity. That's a free inspection up to 30% off, leaffilter.com/Hannity. And do it today.
See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount, one discount per household.
51 Bible, 855-51 Bible.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spa Studio, the hot tub company your friends recommend.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Jay in Billings messaged us, over a couple hours ago now, and Jay has the scene setter for the Democrat National Convention taking place in Chicago. Here's his message, quote, against the backdrop of Biden the grifter stepping aside, we will watch the DNC nominate a candidate who never got one vote in their primary. I am eagerly awaiting the spectacle of mostly peaceful demonstrations on the streets of Chicago. Palestinian liberators and their Hamas-loving friends are whipped into a frenzied mob by Muslim Brotherhood Louis Farrakhan speeches. The live recordings of insanity should far surpass the Tom Hayden, Abby Hoffman, and Jerry Rubin yippie days of old. That was the message from Jay in Billings. Randy in Fishtail, he sent us a message. One of the audio clips that I shared earlier from Speaker of the House Mike Johnson at the rally in Billings on Friday late afternoon, he talked about the principles, the conservative principles that we need to get out there and defend right now in America. And our producer Travis did a write-up, a great write-up from the rally as well, that's on our Montana Talks website, where he kind of spelled out these principles. But Randy made a good point. He said those principles are based in Christianity. If you don't have a Christian base, you don't have a basis for your principles. They just got plucked out of the air. Very good point that Randy makes here. So one thing that Speaker Johnson was talking about at a separate event, you know, separate from the rally, was, you know, he talked, and I forget what the question was that prompted this, but it was an incredible, fascinating response from Speaker of the House Mike Johnson. I didn't know this, but Speaker Johnson, he and his wife Kelly, he said they would do this at churches, they would go into schools, they would go into universities, and they would talk about, they would give like a three-hour lecture at churches on Sunday nights, or they would go into universities and take Q&A with university students, even at public universities like LSU, and they would talk about the greatness of America. And he made the point that you know, prior generations, you could talk about the greatness of America and everybody knew what you were talking about. They knew how and why America was great. But kids these days, in these college classrooms in particular, have been grown up to think that America is not great. And so you have to go back to a simpler way of telling them why America is so exceptional, what made America so great. And I know I don't have enough time to do it, nor the memory to memorize exactly what Speaker Johnson said, but it was fascinating. He said he finally, he asked this room of university students, you know, how many of you believe that America is great? And he was like, wow. He's like, I have to fund it. He said, okay, let me explain in simple ways how America is great. And he was on this whiteboard with a black marker, you know, the erasable marker. And he says, okay, Western democracies had always, or Western, not just democracies, Western governments going back, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years, they had this belief in God, and then they believed that God ordained kings, and then the kings then ruled over the people, and they had all these stick figures to symbolize the people or the peasants, right? And he said, what our system came in and what our founders believed is that we all have these rights given to us by our Creator. In other words, every single one of you is special. Every one of you is deserving of all of these rights. And so what they did was they erased that middleman. They erased the king, and they said, you, the people, we, the people, have the power. And then he took that eraser, and he said what the left is doing in America right now is they are erasing God. And by erasing God, they are erasing the inherent dignity that all people have, because they were made by a creator. Anyways, fascinating.